Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. The prophetic information revealed to Daniel is not necessarily in chronological order. The same holds true for the book of Revelation and other prophetic writings. Regardless, the Godhead wanted to establish what would happen in the future, especially in relation to the fourth king. When comparing Daniel's account with the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, the two of them reveal a lot about this man/monster. A merger of these two prophecies provides a clear picture of what will happen in the future. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to today be looking at a prophecy, actually, a prophecy from Daniel, intermingled with the book of Revelation. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you right now for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you will help me to be able to present this message in such a way that it's understandable, that it's been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that, Father God, you will make it so that people will change, get strengthened, stronger, and be able to walk in victory. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me open with a statement. There's a lot of things happening in the world right now. And most of this stuff is not for the good. If we ever needed the Holy Spirit, this is the time that we need the Holy Spirit. In the past, in churches where I have been pastoring before, you know, we had drives. We would go and knock on doors. We would have pamphlets. We would stand outside shopping centers and hand out things and so on. Those days are pretty much over because people simply were not paying any attention. The Holy Spirit, his presence is critical. If we don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can't lead anyone to Christ. You can't pray for healing for the sick. You can't cast out demons. And the Holy Spirit has more or less removed himself from the earth. And we do know that in 2 Thessalonians, we are told that he who now lets would hold it back, but eventually he will pull back to allow the Antichrist to come. So, this is the time when we need the Holy Spirit. If you look in the outline now, I'm going to read this to you. Daniel's account was written sometime between the years 600 to 538 B.C. He would have had a staff working for him since he was a high government official. Daniel was educated and could have recorded the events happening to him and around him. But the prophecies given to him must have been written on scrolls and combined to a single scroll after his death. It would have been copied many times by Jewish scribes, and after the return of the Jews to Jerusalem, the 7 years of captivity, each synagogue would have their own copy. Studying the original story of Jesus is like conducting a forensic investigation to find out what the Godhead revealed to their prophets. In this message, we're going to focus on the fourth kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist. Now, Daniel lived 2,600 years ago. That's a long time. And people question this and say, now, was he less intelligent? How were people back 2,600 years ago? They were no different than us. The human race has not changed. The intelligence, our emotions that we have today, people had 2,600 years ago. Adam and Eve had these some 6,000 years ago. The only difference is we have more knowledge. Every generation got more knowledge, and that's the only difference. If you turn onto the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, we're going to read about what Daniel knew. So, what did Daniel knew? Bound books, like we have today, did not exist at the time of Daniel. The Old Testament was written on scrolls, one for each book. Thus Daniel, during his youth, had studied these scrolls. His knowledge of Satan was limited to what was revealed in the Old Testament and the books of Enoch. We should understand now that we have a knowledge that goes beyond what these people had. We have the full Bible. We have the Old and the New Testament. Daniel knew that a Redeemer was coming. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we have it identified here to us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, if you read this, it doesn't really describe too much detail about the Redeemer that we know as Jesus. So, a child is going to be born, and the government will be upon his shoulder. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. So, this is kind of impersonal, but all Daniel knew now was this. There is a Redeemer coming. He's going to be born on the earth, and he is going to save people. Let me interject something here right now. There's a vast difference between the Jewish Messiah and the New Testament Messiah. If you go talk to Jews today, to rabbis, Jews in generality, they believe that the Messiah has not come. They believe he is a man, and he is not divine. They believe he's going to be a man anointed by God, similar to Samson. The New Testament Messiah is God incarnated. Jesus was man, he was God, he was divine. That is what divides Jews from Christians. And that's why Jesus was crucified, because he said, I am God. That's why he was crucified. So here he doesn't say if he's going to be divine or not. Now, if you now turn to Isaiah chapter 11, that's Isaiah chapter 11, and we read now more about the coming Redeemer. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch that grew out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, in verse number 6, we are not shifting. This is now talking about the 1,000-year kingdom. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So now Daniel knew there is a Messiah coming. There's also going to be a time period where there will be no problems on the earth, no sin. But that's all he knew. If you turn now to Revelation chapter 20, we now have revealed to us how this is going to go down. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set the seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, Jesus now gave a detailed revelation. There will be 1,000 years of absolute bliss on the earth. Daniel knew there was going to be a period, but he didn't know how long it was going to be. And then if you turn to Daniel chapter 12, 1 through 9. And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stand for the children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time shall your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, Daniel now was introduced to a book. We know that that book is called the Book of Life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as bright as a firmament, and they that turn to righteousness as a star forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the works, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld. They stood on the two, the one on one side of the bank of the river, and yelled on that side of the bank of the river. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever, that shall be for a time, times and a half, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. It must have been disgusting for Daniel to have these visions and not be able to really pinpoint it. What does it mean? So I want you to understand now, Daniel lived from about 600 down to 532 B.C. That means that all Jewish people up to the time of Christ, they were still in the dark. It had not been revealed to them. When Jesus came, he started to preach. He preached for 3.5 years. He revealed certain things. But still, the prophecies that Daniel got was not clearly revealed. They were not understandable. It was not until 90 A.D. that John, the Apostle John, was brought up into heaven and given the revelation of the book of Revelation. Turn on to 1 Corinthians 2. And this is extremely important to understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Daniel did not know how the redemption was going to be done. No prophet knew it. When Jesus came, he gave some vague understanding. Because, you see, that God would reconcile himself by himself was not known in the world. Because if Satan would have known that, he would have simply said to his fallen angels and demons, whatever you do, don't kill Jesus. Don't get him up on that cross. Make sure he lives and dies of old age. Most people don't think about that. And we read now here from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If you go back to the outline now, what did Daniel not know? We just spoke about the atonement. He was unaware that the new temple built in Jerusalem. He was ignorant of the ministry Jesus would have in Galilee and Jerusalem. Had no idea. He did not know that the Redeemer would be crucified and resurrected. He had no knowledge of the future millennium kingdom. Daniel did not know about electricity, what it could do. He was oblivious of the combustion engine, airplanes, rockets that put satellites in space, radio, television, the internet, smartphones. Thus he described his vision with the vocabulary that he had. To those of us that live today, it is important that I understand. Let's say the people living about 1850, which is about 150, 172 years ago. They have no knowledge of the technology we have today. So, knowledge has increased, and also with that, more understanding. The date of the vision that we're going to look at was given to Daniel in 553. And Daniel was now 70 years old. He was about a teenager when he came to Babylon. So I want you to understand now that here's a man, 70 years old, and given this vision. Let's go back now to Daniel 7:1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon a great sea. Most people that read the book of Daniel have read verse number 2 and says, okay, he saw the four winds in the heavens striving upon the great sea. And it goes like this. But this was a great revelation. Because, you see, if we turn now to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to which was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Lord, our God, in their foreheads. Again, most people have read this book, Revelation, and they haven't paid any attention to it. The first satellite, I believe, was put up by Russia about 1958, was called a Sputnik. And satellites did not really come up in space until the late 60s. And, of course, in the 70s, right now, there's a lot of satellites up there. And I remember going to different meetings, like the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings, their conferences, and so on, and also reading in Christian magazines that once they put up satellites to check to see how the weather was, they discovered, these are the scientists, discovered that there are four points on this earth where all weather begins. And they simply said, well, if this is true, then they hung their satellites above these points, and this is how we today can have such a fantastic prognosis of the weather, where they can tell you way in advance what's going to happen, the temperature, and so on. So what I want you to see is this. You understand? Daniel, 2,600 years ago, knew that there were four winds. How do they work? He didn't know. Then in 90 AD, Jesus revealed that the weather on earth is controlled by angels. It is not haphazardly. Angels are having a very tight control of the weather. They have established 4 points on the earth, and this is where all winds begin from these points. Now, you know this, that one of the things that God used to punish Israel and Egypt and others was that he would withhold the rain. He would have angels change it. There were droughts under Ahab. There was a 3 years of drought. We are in the United States right now under a drought. The western part of the United States, we are dry as dry can be. That's not climate change. This is God simply saying, I'm judging you. His angels are working it. Let's talk about the four beasts now, and we go back to Daniel 7. And you might say, now, what is this leading up to? It's leading up to a prophetic word that's going to tell us what's going to happen a year, 5 years, or 6 years from now, maybe 10 or 15. God revealed to Daniel and then to John about the Antichrist. In Daniel 7, 3 through 6, we read this. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and he lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on the side, and it had three ribs in the mouth, and between the teeth of it, and they say unto it, arise, devour my flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had a back of it four wings, and a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given unto him. These were three kings that are going to come up in the future. And this is what I wrote to you on my outline on page 2. God did not reveal to Dan the names of the first three kings. And the conclusion is that they would come from the ocean, create strong nations, cause much evil, pain, and suffering for the people living under their rule. Since the vision was given to Daniel some 2,575 years ago, it is impossible to know if these horrible kings have already lived on earth or they are still to come in the future. Looking back at World War II, from 1939 to 1945. That was the greatest war that had taken place on the earth. It was a world war. And the losses during that time, civilians, soldiers, a total of 100 million people perished between 1939 and 1945. There has never been a war like that before with such high losses. We had other wars, Korean War, Vietnam War, and so on, but the losses have not been on that magnitude. Now, who was driving World War II? We had two dictators, Joseph Stalin from the Soviet Union, Adolf Hitler from Germany, and then we had Japan. He had an emperor, but the emperor, he was just a figurehead, the military ran Japan. And Japan, the Japanese army killed a lot of people. Thus, I'm just speculating right now. But that would be three kings that would cause a carnage that we just read about here. Let's get over now to the fourth beast. Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the rest of it with the feet of it. It was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn was the eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. If you continue now reading this chapter, you've got to realize one thing. It is not in chronological order. Just like you have Revelation 12, it's not in chronological order. To understand the prophetic thing, it is not, we cannot use our Western mind today and think in a linear. God gave information here, then he jumps to here, he jumps over here, and you simply have to separate it and say, now, who is who, and what does what mean? So if we go down now, we read from 7 and 8 here. And I saw this in a night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. But in other words, this king is worse than anything ever seen on the earth. In verses number 20 and 25 in the same chapter. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, of the other which came up and before him, where 3 fell, even of the horn that had eyes and the mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld at the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, if you look upon this and he says horns, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you move now to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, we get an interpretation now in verse 11. And the beast that was and is not even is the 8th, is of the 7 and goes into perdition. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, Jesus revealed now to John, there's going to be 10 kings. They're going to give their kingdom to this beast, the Antichrist, and they're going to rule with him for 1 hour. This is not in the outline, but I just want to share this with you. It is obvious that God's time table is not the same as our time measurement. We get from the Apostle Peter that 1,000 years is like 1 day with the Lord, and a day like 1,000 years. The conversion rate is that 1 day for God is 1,000 years for us. If we use that and divide up 1,000 years into 24, we get down to the how much a day is. And a day in God's time measurement is 41.6 years. God is telling us here that the Great Tribulation is going to be a period of 41.6 years. Now, the common thing in Christian churches, they pray about 7 years, and these people are going to be very, very disappointed as we come up to this time, and we are 7 years into it, there's no end. 10 years, 15, 20, 30, it'll be 41.6 years before Jesus comes back after the death starts. Let's take a quick look here in Daniel 11, 21. That's Daniel 11, 21. This is the description now of the fourth beast. Like I said, we have prophetic words come in different places. They are not in order. And here now, we're given some more information about the Antichrist. And in this estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, and obtain the kingdom of flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall he be overthrown before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. The prince of the covenant is Jesus. So, Jesus was killed, crucified, and resurrected. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. We do know this, that the Antichrist is going to be Jewish. He's not going to be an observant Jew. We know he's going to be a Kabbalist. And so, how many people are Kabbalists on the earth compared to 7 billion of people we have now? A handful. Very small. Ask yourself this, and I'm not anti-Semitic, but just ask yourself this. If you look upon a banking system in the world outside of China and Russia, how many people are running the banking system? And you will find out it's a very small group. Most of them are Jewish. Now, the banking system is interconnected around the world, and thus we have the Federal Reserve System, which by usually is always have a chairman who is Jewish, a Kabbalist. Thus, a very small group of people are controlling the finances, which controls the manufacturing, which controls the transportation. So, here's what I'm telling you, what the Bible says. He shall work deceitfully. Have you seen how the Democrats have worked over the years? From Franklin Roosevelt and up. Deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest place of the province. And he shall do that which his father had not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil of riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Turn to page 3 and on the outline. In Daniel 11, verse number 36, we get some more information about the Antichrist. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. He will be a practicing homosexual. He will not regard the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm just trying to see what I can make you to understand here. The Kabbalists are not worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That includes Freemasons, which is based upon Kabbalah. And others, they are worshiping Lucifer. This was not known when Daniel gave his prophecy. This is something we have found out because now the Kabbalah has become more open. We have had access to the writings of Jewish Kabbalists. We have had access to what they teach in the Masonic temples. And thus we can see now what's going on behind the scenes. But in this estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds, and with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. If you can now go to Daniel chapter 9 and verses 26, we read this. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolation are determined. God is telling Daniel now, the Messiah will work for 3.5 years. Then he will be cut off. Daniel did not understand this. And if you read the New Testament, when Jesus said that I must go to Jerusalem, I got to be lifted up, the Son of Man shall be crucified, the apostles said, no way, no way. They could not understand that. But this is amazing that in 600, that's actually about 523, God gave another insight here to Daniel and said, the Messiah shall work for 3.5 years. That's exactly what Jesus did. Now, this sermon is not something that you simply can say, okay, I heard it, you know, that's it. You need to go home and take these scriptures and carefully look them up and read them so you get the full understanding. I'm giving a lecture on it, but you have to do a study, but it's exciting when you see what has been given to us. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus now is validating Daniel. Remember last week I told you this, that the book of Daniel, according to the world, is a forgery. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse number 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the house up not to come down take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to him that of a child, and to them that I give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. This is a double prophecy. Jesus prophesied, but you see the desolation that Daniel spoke of. He's talking about the Antichrist. But in 67 A.D., the Romans had gathered an army around Jerusalem, and they were going to take Jerusalem. They did desecrate the temple as they walked into the holiest of holies and desecrated it. We know from history that when Jerusalem fell in 70 AD, and close to 1 million Jews were executed, not one Christian was among them, because the Christians simply had read this, and they said, here they come, let's flee, and the Christian fled. If you read Jewish literature today, historical literature, they are railing against the Christian Jews. And they said, the Jews that were Christians back at that time, they betrayed us. Instead of fighting, they left, which they did. But this verse here in number 15 and 16 is going to happen a second time, which will be during the time of the Antichrist. What is the final revelation by Jesus here and now? Turn to Revelation chapter 13. That's Revelation chapter 13. So what I'm trying to tell you here today is this. If you really want to understand this, you got to have the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and you got to merge them. In chapter 13, we read this, of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up on the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head this name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto the leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, the mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Satan will give this man power. The man that is going to come up is going to be Jewish. He's going to be an agnostic Jew. He's going to be known in the finance world. He's going to be known in the political world. And when he comes on the scene, as we have a total disaster on the earth, he will have supernatural power. He will have supernatural power. And he will simply dazzle people. To those of you who might not know history that well, Adolf Hitler had supernatural power. If you read the history books and the records of what he did, when he came up to the podium to speak and he had hundreds of thousands of people in front of him, he changed. He became a different man. His speech was such that the people were simply totally blinded. They were just in awe. When Hitler walked out from speaking, and there was people there, lots of them, the phenomenon was this. As he walked out, people fell down. We call it today slain in the spirit. They simply could not stand, but they flipped over just like you have a board that falls over. So as he walked down among this row of people, thousands of them, they just fell as he walked through, and the rest of the people roared, "The Führer!" And there was an excitement in the air, and it was filled with satanic power. That's going to come on this particular man. We also read this now, and we go down now to verse number 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power was given to all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, if we look upon that scripture, and then we go back to Daniel 7:25, And ye shall speak great words against the Most High, same as in Revelation, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think of changed times and laws. And they shall be given to his hand unto the time and times, and on the dividing of time. If we now go down to Daniel chapter 7, we're going to pick it up in verse number 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And they were given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The term, the Son of Man, Jesus used many times. Where did it come from? It comes from the book of Enoch. In the book of Enoch, which was written about 700 years after Adam and Eve had sinned, Enoch is given a vision of the Son of Man coming back with 10,000 of angels to judge the earth. The prophecies are very rich. You have the book of Enoch, you have the book of Daniel, and then we have the book of Revelation. If we go down to Revelation chapter 19, I'm going to go to verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon his coat, faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, fine linen, white and clean. And then we read from verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, that's the Antichrist, and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on his horse, and against his army. And the beasts were taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with a sword, him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds but out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let's go down to the summary right now as I wrap this message up. And while I do that, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35 and on. If you understand what I told you today, simply this. I took time and spent hours to search Daniel, to search the book of Revelation, to search all the scriptures. And we have been given now a timeline, what's going to happen in the future. What's so exciting is that Daniel is given glimpses of a little prophetic truth here, prophetic truth there, that didn't make sense to him. But as we look back, we can say, yeah, Jesus, he was walking on earth for 3.5 years. We can see the details. And it's like you're looking and saying, wow, this is the puzzle. I got a picture now. We have all this truth in here. What does that mean for us? It simply means this. We are close to the coming of the Antichrist. It's going to happen in our lifetime. There's no question in my mind anymore. All the pieces are together. Everything that the Antichrist needs to control the world is here. It exists. It is just a matter of implementing it. Let me read what I wrote here. We're living during turbulent times. Satan is going all out to usher in the fourth beast. The Democrats are trying to destroy the strength of the United States, remove God from society, and corrupt children through their woke homosexuality theology. Notice, the Antichrist can never come into the world unless the United States has its constitution destroyed. And we are destroyed as a nation, not necessarily militarily, but when we are surrendering to a global government, giving up our constitution, that is when the Antichrist comes in. And if you look upon things now, the constitution, the entire constitution of the United States is under fire. They want to destroy it. We are like a boat drifting down a river without oars, not knowing how long it's going to be to the next waterfall. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, we read this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that regardless of what comes down the pipeline, we have nothing to fear. If you are saved, you're walking with the Lord. We might have been killed, we might have problems, but in the end, we will end up in heaven. Guaranteed. There's nothing the Antichrist, the fourth beast, can do to separate us from the love of God. What I want you to take home now is simply this. I've given you a very detailed outline about the prophecies. If you were to listen to this today, you throw away the outline, then I wasted my time on you. It's going to mean nothing to you. But if you take a week and you go through all the scriptures I had here and think, make notes, you're going to say, wow, wow. And then in your neighborhood, the people you meet, you can simply say, well, the Bible said this, the Bible said that, it's coming down a pipeline. There's no surprise to me. And we will be able to point people to the truth and to tell them, if you think Joe Biden is crazy, no, he's not crazy. He's filled with the power of Satan. He's simply doing destruction. He had Kabbalah. Most of the people in his cabinet are Jewish. They are Jewish Kabbalists. And they are working hard to destroy America. The people on the leftist, the people that are on the leftist movement, the key people there are Jewish. You will find that the American Jews living here are Democrats. They've been Democrats for years. They are Kabbalists. They are hardcore socialist, communist. They know exactly what they are doing. They're doing the bidding of their father. So you watch me. You're not saved, and you says, wow, it didn't make sense. I can see things are bad. What do I do? Well, the best thing you can do is to simply do this. Get saved. Simply say this. Father God, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm lost. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me and rose on the third day. And he paid for my sins. So right now, Father God, please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Come on in, Jesus, and save me so I can have eternal life. And Jesus will. When we finish here, after the last prayer, the screen will change. Three crosses will come up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles. And he will simply say, my friend. And he will take about maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes and show you exactly how to get saved and what to do. And if you get saved today, would you call us, write us? We'd like to encourage you, call you back, write you back, and simply congratulate you. To those of you that are Christians, this is not a time to be of despair. This is a time to simply say, wow, this is what God has given us in advance. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to be a warrior. I'm going to talk. I'm going to share. I'm going to make it different in the world. And remember this, before you do it, you have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, nothing works. God bless you. Here is Thomas.
I don't want anyone to forget about all those dirty, rotten Republicans, too. Liz Cheney comes to mind right now. Father God, thank you for the word. It is deep, and it is fascinating. And it's right on point. So we thank you for the word of God. Shows us past, present, and future. It lines out eternity for every human being. It shows the great Redeemer. It shows the state of man. We are thankful that we have the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for continuing to open up the Word to us, just like it says in Daniel, seal up the Word till the time of the end, and it's going to be revealed. And I believe it is being revealed right now, and more to come. So we thank you for the revealing of the Word in these last days. And I want to ask your blessing upon each person that tuned in today, that showed up, that took the time, set aside the time to do what the Word tells them to do, and that is to assemble together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I ask your blessing upon each individual that took that time. And for all those that are wandering out there, Christians that decided to go boating or camping or fishing today, no blessing for you today. Thank you. It's for those that are faithful. So thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, If you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 70th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Four Beasts. The prophetic information revealed to Daniel is not in chronological order, but the same also holds true for the book of Revelation and other prophetic writings. Regardless, the Godhead wanted to establish what would take place in relation to the fourth king. God reveals a lot of details to Daniel about this man/monster, but there are gaps in the information. When compared to the revelation of the Apostle John, a horrible picture of the future emerges as you connect the dots. It is clear we are close to the time Jesus described as the Great Tribulation. The technology needed by the Antichrist system exists. The political situation is ripe with wars and unrest, and people are ready to seek a solution from a global government which will end all wars and provide financial security. You should master these two prophecies so that you know where we are at in the timeline, giving you the ability to warn people that the time is short before the man of sin takes power. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1865. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.